Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights episode with Brian Gray, who recently left Leaf. And I picked out a topic that would be unique to both of our situations. We had a good time. Thanks sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, Compsy.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Rating, Beckett Authentication. So thanks, Brian, for coming over. Enjoyed it. And here it is. Conversation about corporate culture, starting from the top, from a founder. And the interesting aspect I want to get with you, especially with Leaf and your awareness of other companies in the industry, what is the half-life,
sure,
like Atomic, what is the half-life of the corporate culture after the founder leaves? So Richard McWilliam, founder, but he's gone. But there's still some vestige of the Richard McWilliam way.
That's interesting.
Brian Gray, Leaf, and even me, I've been gone 19 years now. There's still a little bit of me still there, but you can, like a half-life, it's switching. The Shoren family at Topps, Ken Golden, what would happen to Golden if Ken wasn't there? Jimmy Spence, JSA.
They just got sold.
Which he just got sold. So what is the expectation that you have? Do you think, looking at my situation, your situation, and other situations, you see what I'm getting at? Do you mm-hmm. see that Leaf is going to be created in the image of Brian, but that will evolve?
What's interesting is I think the world is so different now. I think the older the example, the more that half-life, you see the fabric woven into the business. You see the fabric of the founder's vision and operations and how they...
Because it was more structured in those days?
It's just different because now people have a different perception of things, and the way they want to operate is so much driven by personal interests and by their desires. And again, you know, Michael Douglas said greed, for the lack of a better word, is good. And in Wall Street, I think you see when one CEO is out and a new one's in, there is a desperation to rebrand, to redefine what the company is in the image of the people running the company now. It's almost like you see them want to disassociate from their founders in order to be their own guys, to be their own. So honestly, at Leaf, and I think I can say this without violating anything, I think they probably go out of their way not to use a lot of the ideas I brought before I left. I think they actually probably go out of their way not to use them because they don't want it to be the Brian Gray show anymore. And I'll be honest, at Upper Deck, Richard, who was a friend of mine, had issues and walked the line. And I think Jason Mashra and the team, even though they put the McWilliam estate on the back of the cards, they have tried to make a 180 and be a different company completely because they know that Upper Deck suffered some losses because of the founder. And I think you see in every case, there's something different. You look at Beckett now. From my perception, I don't think your goal was to make it this conglomerate, gobbling up a bunch of companies in a bunch of different areas to make it the GE of trading cards.
Frankly, when we were gobbling up companies, which we weren't, but every acquisition we made was not as successful as something that we home grew.
That's it.
So that was our ethos when I was there, and now it's switched. But I push back on the 180. I see that on some of the things. I see it more as an evolution. Are you seeing it more dramatic than that? When
yes.
a new person
Today.
Comes in, they want a reverse course
they want
and
a
not course correct.
They want it to be theirs. And again, I think not to even fault the guys that are now running Leaf, because I think, honestly, they're very talented. That's why I picked them to be my number 2 and 3. They're very talented. And Kevin O'Neill's the CEO now, came from Topps, very talented guy. So they're great. This is in no way a knock. But Leaf for 12 years was the Brian Gray show. I got credit when it was good, and I absolutely got credit when it was bad. Even when I didn't come up with something, people gave me the credit for being the creative force. And I did share credit, but no one listens to that part. They only want to hear that I'm the mad genius behind it or whatever, which I think is a falsehood. We have a couple of really mad geniuses there. It's just interesting to me how fast it's changed. Because again, I think with your transition, when you first sold Beckett,
it was a long time ago.
But your heritage and what you did there, that was a piece of the fabric that continued for quite a while. And I think it sped up the evolution into what they are today.
It's absolutely sped up.
It sped up. And it faster than the traditional half-life.
The whole world has sped up.
So we're faster trying to be. And so I think there's always going to be some level of new leadership does not want to be under the cloud of old. And if you have a great leader, which you are, and I hope I was, do you really want to fall in the shadow? Like when someone takes over for Warren Buffett, they're going to do some things different because they do it exactly like Warren. Head-to-head comparison may not be favorable.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just human nature, I think.
Or Nick Saban.
That's it.
Do you want to follow the coach that was revered?
Or and if you do, you're not going to do it exactly the same way he did, because then there will be a head-to-head comparison, yeah, and right. You'll probably lose. So it's interesting, but I think in Leaf's case, I can speak to that very clearly. I think they are making some major U-turns. They're eliminating a lot of things that I did when I was there because they want to make it their own. And I won't fault them for wanting to own that. It's sad to see some things that the hobby needs that are gone or that will be gone. But that's why there's competition in the market, because someone's going to be smart and pick up the things they're dropping. And someone's, you know.
So if Jimmy Spence is listening to this conversation, what is he thinking right now, now that he's in with the CCG or CGC?
The thing is, we really don't know how involved Jimmy himself will be. Is he going to be involved in the day-to-day, or is he going to pretty much hand the baton off and have his guys running around all over the country?
He's got his son, who's going to probably be.
J3.
Yeah. But I did talk to him, and I don't think I'm betraying any confidences, but he's going to be not day-to-day as much. Let's put it that way.
And I think what will happen is CGC's culture, or CSG, whatever it is going to be different. Jimmy, I considered, and this is a positive term. Some people say not, but I say it is, a hustler. Jimmy was very aggressive in getting his guys out there and marketing and pushing and being on the street, making deals, making things happen. And I think it's different when you get into the corporate culture. I had a hustle mentality at Leaf, and Leaf is trying to become much more corporate now. They want to be buttoned up, cookie cutter, never controversial, never go public and address. Like when someone criticizes Leaf, they don't address it. They would rather just let it die off.
Really?
Where my strategy is, I go out and say—
Lean into it.
I lean into it because to me— That's why you differentiate yourself from every other person in this industry. Everybody just hopes the news cycle goes away. But I've always believed sometimes you just have to step up and say, listen, I screwed it up. I didn't screw it up or whatever.
Every crisis is opportunity. Okay. So what did my old company do right with Steve Grad then? Because it sounds like they brought him in. He'd been in another similar situation. But was that handled well? Because I don't think they've turned that upside down.
The best part of their business right now, I think, is probably Beckett Authentication, along with, they have an incredible, but Arcane Tenman, supply is very good. Southern Hobby is one of the better distributors, although we all question the future of distributors with Fanatics taking over. But I think Beckett Authentication is one of the brightest spots in the business. It's far superior to any other authentication company, I believe. But again, the interesting thing in the market is with JSA now having a slab, which JSA could have done this. I don't know why they didn't do it before now.
They've been talking about it for more than 10 years.
You understand how easy I can have a slab setup done in 60 days. And I can have slabs over here from China or India in 90 or Mexico in 90. So there's no reason it should have taken years to get a slab. So this is an opportunity for CSG because people want a JSA to have a slab forever.
Exactly.
They have. They're given an incredible opportunity. And CSG is going to button that up and make it more corporate. It's not going to be as free-flowing as
all the stuff that Spence's were concerned about is covered in the wheelhouse of CCG.
That's the
They've already been doing it, so that's great. What advice would you have for Ken Golden? There's lots of rumors, but if he was no longer under the collector's umbrella or there was some other transition.
My instinct is that's a very good rumor. It doesn't sound like a rumor to me, but
it doesn't sound crazy. But should Ken be listening to what we're saying and realize that
the thing is, Ken's not leaving.
Is it about where he is, or is he so synonymous with the brand? But is he more synonymous with his brand than you were or than I was?
I think he's very synonymous with the brand. That's positive and negative. Same way with me, with positive and negative.
But how does he pull back? I don't think
he does pull back.
You got your life back.
See, the difference is,
at some point, he might.
I know Ken really well. I don't think he wants his life back. Ken is an animal. I used to go up there.
A shark.
He's all kinds of animals. He's like a whole zoo by himself. And he's one of my great friends, so I can say that. But Ken is a workaholic to the level. He wouldn't show up at the office when I'd go up to scoreboard on payday to help bail them out because they were having some financial issues. We'd come in and buy a ton of every payday. And he'd say, be there at 10 a.m. So we'd walk the warehouse with Rex Wang, whatever, for 10 a.m. He shows up at 7 p.m. and he'll work till 5 a.m. He just never stops. He's an incredible promoter. Sometimes you can live up to those promises, sometimes you can't. But his motivation is way beyond, like, for me, I got enough money. So whatever's next for me, it's not going to be driven by money.
So are you saying there's never going to be enough for him, or it's just his nature?
I just think his nature is, and it's all from where we come from. See, I was poor when I grew up. So for me, having a substantial amount of money was never even in my wheelhouse. So I don't have to have another penny. I'm okay. I can live on my interest easily. And Ken could too. But I think Ken lives for the deal, which I do to some extent. He lives for the deal. For me, it's more a pure hobby. I want to make an impact on the hobby. I want to be in the Hall of Fame someday. I want the Hall of Fame to say, Brian made a difference. I think Ken probably puts his value a little differently. That's probably not number one on his list, but he's driven. And I think Ken will not be not involved because I think in his case, he has put way too much emphasis in the brand on himself. The brand is him. In my case.
But that's not a problem if he tends to live, breathe, eat, sleep, and die with it.
Then that's what he's got. And he probably will. I'm taking the over on whatever you think he's going to retire. I'm taking the over. He's not when he retires, it'll be because we're all standing around with flowers. That's my opinion. He's one of the most driven individuals ever. Okay. And I'm proud to call him a friend because I thirst on being around people that are that motivated. But for the first time, I'm changing my perspective. And I know you've changed your perspective. We go through dollar boxes at a show now and we like have a joy about it. I don't see this guy ever doing that because he has a joy for it anymore. I don't see it.
Okay. What about Fanatics and Michael Rubin? Is Fanatics created in the image of Michael Rubin, or is he created an organism that can live on?
Fanatics is 100% built to live on beyond Michael Rubin. But Michael Rubin, I will say,
he's in his prime.
He's probably the person, and this sounds crazy. Some people will hate this. His business acumen might be the one I most admire in the industry already. And I've spent some time with him. I become friends with him, and I will tell you, I hate to say we're cut from the same cloth, because that's not a compliment to me saying I'm just like him, but we're cut from the same cloth. He is incredibly shrewd. His BS meter is one of the best I've ever seen.
He's decisive.
Could he be a little more patient with some of the moves they've made? Absolutely. But he's got conviction, confidence, and that's how you win in this business. You have conviction, confidence, and you don't fail because you're not going to let it happen. And you can win. In this business, you're a big fish in a very small pond relative to the world. You can win just because you will it to win. Most industries, you can't will yourself to win. This industry, I believe you can will yourself to win if you have the resources, the intelligence, and the ability to adapt and move where things require you to.
But we've both mentioned this. You've got to hire wisely.
You do.
You got to have terrific lieutenants and
he's got
great people.
He took the best people from Panini. Okay. He's got the tops people and he's brought in people who are smarter than anyone else in the business. Now, the question is, can the really smart non-card people work with the tops culture and then work with the Panini culture who came over from Panini? Because that's a very different culture. You've basically taken Korea, Japan, and China and thrown them all in a room and said, y'all figure this stuff out. And they're very different cultures, even though they're geographically
leave your weapons at the door.
That's it. Yep. And like I said about leave, they're all equipped to do it their way. The smart guys want to do it the way they learned at Harvard. The tops guys want to do it in a very traditional way. And Panini is like, we're the king of the world, beat our chest. And those guys say, we can win just because we will it. Which is consistent with how I think Michael Rubin thinks. So the Panini guys would be a very good fit. But the question, will the Topps and Panini cultures blend? And not Panini corporate now, but the people who left Panini to go to Topps, will they culturally get along or will there be animosity because they're coming from different places? These kind of mergers are very complicated.
We started out talking about the corporate culture and the half-life, the dissipation, and you believe it's a lot more rapid than I think.
Absolutely.
And that's from a leadership standpoint. Are you saying that the Topps people, it's going to take them a while to think Fanatics, and the former Panini people, it's going to take them a while to think Fanatics, not Topps, but Fanatics, the overall brand.
I think it's going to be harder. I think outside the Panini guys will have a harder time thinking Topps than thinking Fanatics. Because I think
Fanatics, I didn't say that.
Right, no. I think the Panini guys.
But there's a half-life there.
I think the Panini guys have a better ability to adapt.
It's going
to
take more than a year, but it's not going to take 10 years.
It'll be faster than 10 years for sure. Yeah. But I think they're coming along pretty fast because as long as Fanatics listens to the card people and doesn't ignore them for the smart people, not saying the card people aren't smart, but the book smart people, I think they're equipped to be a monster. And I think Rubin is building it, going back to the first question, I think Rubin's building an organization that is so diverse with smart people in every area that if they can find a way to work together, watch out. Because no card company's ever had that many smart people in so many different ways.
I'm not going to challenge you on that. I'm going to end the episode, Brian, instead of going through my list of outstanding employees.
Oh, you have great.
That you would try to match me as well. Thanks, Brian. This is fun. Thanks for your wisdom. And thanks, everybody. We'll be back again with another episode.